How's it going, guys? Thank you for stopping by today. Here we have another episode, part of the ProOp series, where Jake and I sit down and talk to experts or professionals in the esports world. This episode is actually a special one. We kind of do a little untraditional move where we go and we actually interviewed Justin Kenna, who's the CEO of GameSquare Esports Inc. That's the organization that actually owns the renowned organization that we all know is Complexity. You guys will notice Jake and I are sitting in Complexity headquarters in Frisco, Texas, talking with Justin Kenna. The area was a little bit weird as far as how it was set up, and so the camera angle is a little different. We're going to try our best to kind of boost the audio, but as you guys can tell, we kind of get right into it and we get started because we were limited on time. So you're not going to have our traditional introductions like we normally do, and it's also not going to be online how we typically do it via Riverside. This is an in-person interview done at the eve of the Tim the Tatman tailgate that was held earlier this month of July. We're in July 2022. So thank you guys for coming by. And as you guys already know, my name is Neffy Lopez. I'm an attorney that represents streamers, players, and personalities. And Jake Hicks is an attorney that represents leagues, teams, and organizations. And together, we had the pleasure of interviewing and speaking with Justin Kenna. So without further ado, let me pass it over to the interview. Thank you guys and hope you enjoy.
And the majority of last year, I was out here anyway. My wife and I bought a house here early this year in Frisco, so we're sort of 10 minutes away, nice. just north of the Star. And yeah, it's been awesome. But yeah, I sold my place in LA. We've still got GameSquare as a whole, still has some agency businesses in LA, so we'll be back there a lot, and just makes a lot more sense to be based here. I think, you know, a lot of the value, especially around kind of the esports org part of it, it's a lot of value being here, obviously with, you know, Jerry and the team across the road as well, right? And you guys have obviously toured the facility. It's a pretty impressive place to take potential investors and brands through. And obviously football season's great as well, being able to kind of leverage that relationship with the Cowboys. And I mean, hospitality, the way they do things.
Oh yeah. The Texas way, man, there's nothing like it.
Totally. So yeah, it's been awesome. But I've been traveling a lot. So if you came to my house, you'd see a lot of boxes still not unpacked, but we're getting there. It's a bit of a process.
That's awesome. Well, so going back, you know, in your time in LA and before that, how did you find yourself in the esports space?
Yeah, it's funny. So I'm not a gamer, which a lot of people laugh about. A lot of my friends laugh about. I actually used to play Australian football in Australia. My dad was, you know, one of those old school dads, you know, give you a clip over there, get outside and go run around, play sport. Yep. But it's really interesting. I was actually running a finance and strategy for a production company in LA. And there's a lot of crossover. I'll kind of get to that. But at that time, I wasn't looking to move anywhere. We're kind of going through a process of, it was a young CEO. I was helping him basically structure the business and get ready for the first major financing. And I was actually introduced to the guys at FaZe Clan at the time. FaZe were not what they are now from a brand perspective. They certainly had a following. This is, I guess, sort of 5.5, 6 years ago now, which it's funny, like 5, 6 years ago doesn't sound like that long ago, but for what has evolved in the space over that time, it's a lifetime.
It's like half of its life almost, or probably more than that.
Yeah, it's crazy. So I was introduced to guys at FaZe. Pretty funny story, actually. So there's eight guys working out of a house, just like, you know, any startup. Great startup story. Introduced guys at FaZe, went over to have an interview, and at the time, the creative director, Jimmy, who's ex-Playboy, he was the ex-head of creative at Playboy. He came down the stairs. It was 4 o'clock on a Tuesday afternoon. He was in a dressing gown eating breakfast cereal. And I was like, what the hell is going on here?
I've seen him from a movie, man.
And it was pretty funny because it was so early on at FaZe where, like, it wasn't the house where the creators lived in the hills, but it was in West Hollywood. This was the office. And they'd have parties there. Talent would roll through. It was just kind of this, like, is this a business? Like, it was really interesting. But the opportunity for me was having learned so much about content and production, and you know, the company I was at were doing, you know, a lot of music videos, ads, short form, snackable content, which, you know, really that's short form snackable content is where FaZe kind of, you know, evolved out of. These kids 10 years ago in New York in a house making content and basically saying, hey, we're gamers and it's cool. And the first to do it, and everyone's like, yeah, gaming is cool and I'm allowed to be a gamer. And it's like all these people came out of the closet with gaming because of FaZe.
Right. Yeah.
And so I saw the opportunity, started to understand a hell of a lot more about the industry. It's definitely been a learning curve for me, and have so much respect for pros and streamers and creators. But it was kind of the opposite of a traditional business in the way that they had this huge audience. So the brand part was kind of there, but they didn't have a business. And they didn't really have these, they weren't monetizing this audience.
Yeah.
And so it was interesting. I think in some ways, not being a gamer was advantageous in the way of not having blinkers on or being biased in your views, and actually being, okay, cool, how do we build out revenue streams? How do we make this into a business while keeping it authentic to the fans? And look, there's lots of frustrations at times with that as well. You know, having the four founders very much a part of decision making and them truly knowing their fans better than anybody else. So I'm here, you know, I was the CFO at FaZe, you know, wanting to do these large commercial deals to bring in money. Like, nah, it's not cool though. You know, people think we're sellouts, we can't sellouts, do this. So it's really interesting. But so I joined FaZe, it would have been probably 6 years ago now, I guess, 5.5, 6 years ago. And I was the CFO there for 3 years. I learned a lot over that period of time. For those who don't know who are listening, presume most probably do, but FaZe is going public. I think it was got voted in this morning. So July 19, I think they'll be listed on NASDAQ through a SPAC deal with B. Riley, which is incredible. And good luck to them, and I hope it goes really well. I've got good relationships there still, and learned a hell of a lot. For me, it was kind of just understanding more and more about the space and the opportunities. So I think the thing I'm probably most proud of at FaZe is we really paved the way in terms of large commercial deals, and this kind of sitting at this intersection of gaming and esports and traditional sport and entertainment and pop culture. We did streetwear collabs with Supreme and Champion, and you know, pop-up stores in New York that had blocks of kids lined up. It was just incredible. So
do you think that when FaZe was worried about the image of selling out or of going commercial, do you think that was mitigated when they actually started making those moves? And did you see the community respond in a more positive way than maybe they originally thought?
It's an interesting one. I think it's funny because people think of FaZe now as kind of like this lifestyle brand. Mm-hmm. But if you actually look at their esports org, I mean, They're really good. They're winning, right?
Like, pretty damn good.
Counter-Strike team's great. The Call of Duty deal with the team, and I actually think that deal is one to think about as well, right? I spoke earlier about how publishers, I think, are starting to partner closer with orgs rather than, hey, this is a closed franchise. We need $30 million for you to participate.
Right. Yeah.
FaZe did, in their partnership with Cox to do Atlanta FaZe, was really smart, right? And that's leveraging and licensing their brand to have someone else pay the capital to then leverage and license your brand and your players and your infrastructure that you've built within esports. And so that's been super successful. Yeah. But yeah, it's an interesting one. I mean, it's tough, right? Because gaming and esports communities are pretty fickle.
Yeah.
So it's really about trying to find that right line of how you can monetize and build a sustainable business without losing authenticity of your message and how you engage and reach fans.
Right.
And I think for us, I've been lucky, you know, at GameSquare and with Complexity, that we've been able to sign talent that I think does that really well. And I think Tim's the prime example, right? Yeah. I mean, Tim's just like, catching up with him is just like catching up with one of my mates. You have a few beers with him and you can tell very quickly why he has the audience he has, because he's so engaging. He is who he is, and it's very authentic. So, yeah, the FaZe one's hard. I don't know. I think there is a time that you will cross over, right? Like, they're going to be publicly listed on NASDAQ. How that's received to the hardcore gaming fans, I can't answer that.
Right.
But they've become so big that they have a whole new level of support and engagement as well. So,
Okay.
And one of the cool things I've noticed is, especially now, right, and you used a very a funny term, but I think I would agree with exactly that, coming out of the closet as a gamer. For us, I realized whenever it was Ninja and Drake played together on Twitter, I think that was sort of a new way for gaming.
I think it was Ninja, Drake, and Juju, someone else.
They did that, and then they had the Travis Scott Fortnite Live event.
And it was like this whole Fortnite just changed the game.
Yeah, and then all these athletes, all these people started coming out more public about the fact that they play video games, and then Twitch started to blow up. And so, and one of the things that you guys have been able to do, especially at Complexity, and that we revere and that we like, is this idea where, you know, obviously Complexity is legendary when it comes to esports. You know, Jake and I have been fans of Complexity since they were competing back early on.
Yeah.
And you guys have been able to shift it, especially with the celebrity wing of Complexity, which, again, we talked a little bit about it over at the press conference. But, you know, the thing that I like, and I wanted you to kind of tell us your logical reasoning behind it, is at what point did you know, whenever you guys took over Complexity or merged with Complexity, did you guys say, you know what, we need to focus on the content creation? Because obviously, you know, Tim, the reason why people like him is because he's obviously good at playing video games, but he's entertaining. Yeah. He's not as good as some of the other guys.
Totally. Don't tell him that. His wife told him that at dinner. She's like, Tim, you're not actually that good, but people just like engaging with you. And he wasn't too happy with that comment. So.
Yeah, exactly. And so you're not going to put Tim on the Call of Duty team competing.
Yeah.
Did you get some pushback or originally say, hey guys, we need to invest on content creators? They're not competing and they're not winning all these, you know, money prize at these tournaments, but this is where the future is, or this is going to be a big part of it. Did you have any of those types of conversations?
Yeah, it's a really good question, and that's exactly what happened. So we acquired Complexity, I mean, probably a month ago last year, so just over a year. Mm-hmm. In that time, we've taken the aggregate following of Complexity from 10 million to over 100 million, so 10x our aggregate following. You hear all of these like stats about eyeballs and numbers, and they all sound great. Like, who really cares unless you can monetize them?
Right.
And I can go into GameSquare in a little bit, because I'll answer your question, but I think what's important about that audience is the fact that within GameSquare, we're building out media and marketing agencies, content studio, this kind of one-stop shop for brands to connect with fans. So to have that aggregate following that you can leverage and reach, right, and help brands reach that audience directly through your own ecosystem is incredibly powerful. When we acquired Complexity, so I want to start off by saying, first and foremost, we believe in esports and we believe in the future of it. We'll continue to invest in it. Since we acquired Complexity, we've added in a Rocket League team, a Halo team, a female Valorant team, and we will continue to invest and add teams in esports, but without kind of trying to dance around it, because the reality is there are a lot of esports that are very difficult to make money out of.
Right.
And you see that with a lot of esports orgs that burn a lot of cash. So you need these other avenues, these ancillary revenue streams. Absolutely, a focus was to bring in content creators and build audience. And not in the phase model of, hey, we want to be the coolest people ever. It was, we're gamers first. Like, our attitude is we're gamers. And the coolest thing is Complexity Stars, which we launched, which is our athlete and music division, they're gamers. They're all gamers. People don't care about, we're going to do cool merch. We'll do lifestyle content if it's with brands, whatever.
Right.
People don't care what Tim the Tatman's wearing. Tim's got no fashion sense. Maybe cut that out. But people care because he's a gamer, right? And the funny thing is people now understand that Leonard Fournette's the same. He's a gamer.
Yeah, dude.
And Chicharito's a gamer. And that's what's really cool. So yes, it was my first order of business was, I think number one, to be really frank, it was understanding that the Cowboys cared. That was very important to me. They've shown that, and they do. I mean, Jerry and John Goff put in like $7.5 million more with the all-stock transaction. They've given us a $5 million line of credit recently. They invested another $2 million. Travis Goff is on the board. Tom Walker, who's the CFO of the Cowboys and the Jones Family Trust, is on our board. We speak to them regularly. We had a few of the Cowboys guys in to listen to our speech earlier. They care. And as part of the deal, we got a commercial deal with GCN, our media agency. So we're actually building out strategy for the Cowboys to reach this audience, right? They care about this audience. So that was important. Signing Tim was the first order of business. And it was really cool because Jerry was involved in that process. Yeah. I don't know whatever happened. The Washington Post were meant to be doing a story on how we actually signed him, and they didn't do it. But it would have been...
We could do that.
I'm about to say, yeah, we'll take
that. It actually would have been really interesting because we flew Tim out here, and it was the last preseason game of last year. Mm-hmm. It was the home preseason game, and Jerry and Steven understood the importance, and I was speaking to Jerry and I said, this is basically like trying to sign Aaron Rodgers if you didn't have Dak.
Right.
Yeah.
Because what Tim has been to, exactly what you're saying, that content streaming business for us, he's the head of it, right?
Right.
Because since him, we were able to sign Barker Bros, who are one of the biggest upcoming.
We're hoping to meet
trio.
Those guys this weekend.
You will. They're going to be in here in half an hour.
Oh, perfect.
Them, Jordan, Cloaksy, Tim are doing some interviews and some stuff. So I'll introduce you. They're awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
Ninjala, Cloaksy, Jordan Fisher, Complexity Stars. We've been able to build audience and do really cool stuff around. So it was really important. But we flew him out. Obviously, Tim's a big Cowboys fan. We had talking points for Jerry. And first night we did dinner in the Cowboys Club. Ezekiel Elliott came to dinner. Jerry Jones signed helmet to give to Tim. We took him on a tour of our facility, which, I mean, this is the best gaming and esports facility in the world, bar none, and I've seen plenty.
Absolutely.
We took him on a tour of the Cowboys facility, and the Cowboys helped us sign Tim hand in hand. And now, this isn't just because he's a Cowboys fan. I mean, Tim was very excited about GameSquare as a whole because Tim now gets access to Cut and Sew, which is our marketing agency, GCN, our media agency, Four Frame Studios, our content studio. So there's a lot more to GameSquare as a group, right? And again, we can get to that later. Like building this one-stop shop, this entry point for brands to reach fans. But the Cowboys were very helpful. So we took him on a tour over there. And I don't know if you guys have ever done a tour of their facility, but
not the Cowboys facility.
It's incredible. Yeah. So they have a TV studio that is like walking onto the set of ESPN. It's unbelievable.
Yep,
that's awesome.
We walked in there and their head of content, Shannon, worked with me on building this. We have some pretty famous advisors to GameSquare. Conor McGregor, Tony Hawk, Jordan Belfort. Mm-hmm. We put together a video of those guys telling Tim he needed to join Complexity.
Damn, that's some good.
Michael McCarthy, Dak Prescott, all of these Cowboys players.
Yeah.
There's a bunch of others. I'll find the video. But we walk into the TV studio and it goes pitch black and Tim's like, what's going on here? The Cowboys organized. We had Tim's logo flashing all over the whole room, right? And then bang, on the big screen comes this video and he's like, what is going on? Like, gives me tingles thinking about it now.
Yeah, yeah,
that's awesome.
And all these people telling him to join, I was like, we've got him. Like, you can't say no now. So we then, like the attention to detail, I think, and complexity is something that they've learned from the Cowboys.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And Tim gets back to the hotel across the road, the Omni, and he's got personalized Tim the Tatman Cowboys jerseys they made with Tim's logo on the jersey.
All this stuff.
We had actual Cowboys merch team do Tim the Tatman Cowboys. Like, obviously, they weren't selling them just for him.
Right.
Personalized T-shirts, like official Cowboys merch. Damn. Incredible.
That's amazing.
So we then have this little minivan pick us up the next morning. So we definitely had a few beers that night. So I think we're all pretty hungover. But we actually did the kind of official pitch to Tim with all the different heads of our businesses at GameSquare. And then we had this little minibus pick us up, take us to the game. So it's a preseason game. We get there an hour before the game. We go under the parking thing and straight up into Jerry Jones' suite. And Jerry Jones and Stephen Jones are just standing there looking out the field. We're in an hour. Tim and his wife, Tim's two agents from WME, myself and my wife, and we had an hour with Stephen and Jerry before the preseason game. And I was chatting to Stephen. Stephen's a great guy. I'd give Tim some time to chat to Jerry. And then Jerry comes over to me and he's like, I could talk football with that man all day. And he goes, now all you got to do, son, is go sign him. And kind of like pointing at the thing. I thought, oh, we'll do, sir. Shook his hand. And yeah, I mean, it was pretty cool. It was a pretty cool experience. So we got that done. And obviously, I think, you know, the rest is history. But I know it's a very long-winded answer, but
no.
When doing the deal with Complexity, it was extremely important to us. We talked about it at the time. They built an amazing race car, and it was time for us to put it on the track, right, and race and win. And
right.
I think my experience of FaZe and being able to work out how to grow audience, how to monetize, how to sit at that intersection of traditional sport and entertainment and gaming and esports was really important to that. And I think we're proving that model out right now. And that is, you know, when you think about Complexity, I think bucket number one is esports, and we believe in esports and the future of it. We're going to be intelligent about the way we deploy capital there. It's an area that we think we can get to profitability in the near term. And near term, I mean, I'm not talking 5 years time. We're on a trajectory to there. I'm not going to, you know, put at risk scale or growth because of profitability immediately. And we have high revenue growth, high margin businesses within our ecosystem. So that helps with the growth over here. Bucket number two being that kind of content creation, streaming piece. That's the piece that we've grown exponentially, and all of these other businesses are benefiting because GCN's talking to Bagel Bites or to whoever it might be, and they're pitching for an RFP against these traditional agencies. Number one, we have an advantage because we understand the space. Number two, we have an advantage because internally we can pitch in the biggest talent in the world. Number three, we have an advantage because we can upsell them to our media network, which can specifically reach targeted audience. Number four, we have an advantage because we have a content studio in-house, merch and consumer products in-house, Web3 agents in-house. We have all of this strategy and expertise that can specifically help reach this audience. So I think it's really helped having Complexity stars and brands that may be a bit nervous to get into this space, even though they know they have to, because brands are used to working with athletes. They're familiar with it. So if we can integrate Tim the Tap Man, and we're doing this successfully, and they're all happy because they're getting paid. They're getting brand deals and they're getting opportunities. And it's hard to do that if you're just an org, because you only have so many categories, you have those sponsors, and then that's it. Right. I mean, the beauty of Game Square is you sit out there, you're in the Miller Lite Lounge, but Code Red's the agency of record for Bud Light in Europe.
Yeah.
We can work with any brand, any org. And I think that's the other thing people kind of find interesting is everyone asks you about competition. I mean, I'm not worried about competition at all. There are so many eyeballs and there's so many dollars in this space. Like, rising tide raises all ships.
Yeah.
We're already doing content through our content studio for FaZe. We're working on some stuff with TSM. Like, that's the beauty of Game Square as an ecosystem, is we can service our business being Complexity first, but there's a big gap in terms of quality content, merch, product, et cetera. We can fill that gap.
Yeah. Well, so you alluded to it a couple of times, but what all rolls up into Game Square?
Yeah.
What all are we talking about there?
Yeah, so the easiest way to think about Game Square is probably three buckets. Bucket one is esports and gaming, which is here, Complexity.
Right.
Now, will we look at some fire sales that might be coming? Yes, probably, right? But I think for now, it makes sense for all of that to roll into Complexity and grow this brand as our competitive esports gaming hub. Would I rule out an org in a different market, maybe, that we could bring in? No. But overall, Complexity is our gaming and esports strategy, and we'll build around that, grow that audience, monetize, etc. That's bucket one. Bucket two, which I think is really the secret sauce, or two and three are, because there's no other esports org that has access to all of this internally. That's our kind of media and marketing agency. So we have Code Red over in the UK. They're an influencer agency. We are about to roll out Code Red US or something similar to bolster our US and our US influencer and talent capabilities. Code Red was the original entity to Game Square that did an RTO in October of 2020. So we think about last year, 2021 is really year one, this is year two. We have, which is, I mean, it's quarter on quarter revenue growth, it's cash flow positive, slightly lower margin than the other two businesses due to the nature of the influencer pass-through stuff, but great business. We have GCN, Chris Kent, I'll introduce you guys to, he's here, he's the CEO of GCN, I mean, nice. The team we have there are incredible. I mean, Chris is ex-Red Bull Media House, Shire Day. He's big, large agency. He's worked on huge projects. Ninja's here somewhere. I mean, he worked on a lot of the early Ninja stuff at Red Bull. Like, incredible.
Yeah.
Drew Brunson, who's his head of strategies, ex-Caesars, ran all gaming initiative for Caesars Entertainment Group. Really incredible business that's going from strength to strength. Their secret sauce is they have a media network of 75 web properties, super endemic, reach 115 million gaming and esports fans every month.
Oh, wow.
Third agency business is Cut & Sew, very endemic. I met the guys early on, they invested in FaZe. They're a big part of our strategy at FaZe in terms of helping us pivot when COVID happened to very much online. Celebrity sports have a lot of access to NBA players. They work with Converse, HyperX. Really nice mix because GCN are winning these big RFPs and, you know, starting to have those AOR type conversations. Cut & Sew are more retainer based, which is nice to have that recurring revenue in, especially in a public market model. And then the third kind of piece of Game Square is really what we've been building out internally. And you know, I think, again, year one being last year, was there was a lot of M&A activity. And then it was really year two is about optimization, finding cross-selling opportunities, proving out the model. And we're doing that, we're scaling revenue really quickly. But number three, because of this sort of slowdown in M&A due to external factors, COVID into a potential world war, into recession, and all of these issues in terms of where we're trading at currently, with share price then handcuffs you in terms of M&A activity. Right. So we've been building out capability in businesses internally. I was able to bring over Femi, who was the head of content at FaZe, incredibly talented, award-winning producer. He's built out 4Frame Studios. We actually just signed a really exciting deal there, which I can't talk about yet because it's not publicly available information, but there's a lot going on there. I mean, we're generating material revenue. We launched it in end of Q1 of this year. I mean, it will be cash flow positive year one. And because we have these media and marketing agencies bucket two that are, you know, dealing with 200 plus brands, there's budget in all of these you know, deals and projects that we're working on that we can now keep internal. So money that, you know, previously we were kicking out to others, we're keeping internal. And so 4Frame is the content studio of Game Square, but it also has a market-facing business, right, where we're going out and we're working with other esports orgs, where we're working with other labels, traditional entertainment, to produce really cool branded content that authentically resonates with audience. And likewise, I can't go into too much detail around the other two businesses we're building out because, again, they're not public yet. But along that similar vein, right, where we're building out capability that if you're a brand and you want to reach audience, this younger demographic, then Game Square is a place for you to be able to do that. We can create strategy. You can obviously, there's, you know, your more traditional types of entertainment, of sponsorships where like jerseys or on the building or at the event, tournaments, events, whatever. But there's custom content, there's bespoke campaigns. We work out who you're trying to reach. We tell you who you should be, how you do it. And then we upsell you in our media network and we specifically reach that audience.
Do you think that, so monetization is always something that's hard in esports and in the video game arena in general. It's always hard to monetize exactly what you want to do and continue to create those projects. But one aspect of traditional sports, and we find esports that traditionally monetizes their content, is through live events. Do you think that the synergies between the Game Square entities help foster those live events like the Tailgate? And do you see those increasing in frequency or in size moving forward?
Yeah, totally. It's really interesting because we're actually talking about this before on the panel, I think. As much as a lot of this world lives online, nothing beats being able to connect with somebody. And I think Jordan said that it helps crystallize, and it's true, right? It's like spine tingling when you go to a live event, and like there's
It's a whole different ballpark.
50,000, 100,000 fans screaming and going, like, it's incredible. And I think, like, I did a walkthrough of the venue over there. This weekend's going to be amazing. And it's a celebration of the brand. It's a celebration of Tim. It's a celebration of the community. Mm-hmm. I think it's really cool. So to answer your question, yes, I think live events, experiential, is an area that we're looking to build out in for sure. And I think given the access that we have, obviously here, right? We've got the Ford Center across the road, which is an 18,000 person stadium, 12,000, but 18 on the floor as well, fully equipped and wired for gaming and esports events. So we're working with the Cowboys around, you know, pitching some of the biggest tournaments, events.
Yeah.
We have access, obviously, to AT&T Stadium. We have a production facility in Vegas through GCN that we use. We have a big presence in LA, obviously. And yeah, I definitely think it's an area for us that will continue to grow out. And I think having, you know, again, I kind of alluded to this earlier in the panel we did, but having a component to it that is, you know, Web3 in nature, where you may have a physical event, but there are so many fans, we understand this, that can't be here this weekend. And we were looking at building out a map originally of the tailgate that fans online could engage with, that you could sell sponsors into, that Tim would engage with, that they could actually do some of the activations online, you know, in Mexico or Brazil or wherever you might be and engage with the tailgate. It was more a timing factor as to not being able to, and this is year one, so we want to get the event right first and prove it out, but I think this is something that will evolve and grow and could be something that doesn't necessarily just live in Texas. Tim's built a bit of a community in Sandestin, Florida. He's got Ninja across the road, Jordan next door, Cloaksies.
Nick nearby too?
Yeah.
Isn't he in Florida?
I have no idea.
I'm not sure where Nick is now. I know he's a Tampa Bay fan because we caught up with him at the Tampa game last year. We're actually looking at doing some cool content with Lenny, because Lenny's a part of Complexity Stars. Lenny and Nick, Tampa, and Trayvon Diggs and Tim, Cowboys, because that's Cowboys. the opening game this year. Yeah, so we're kind of working on that at the moment, which should be pretty cool.
That's awesome.
But yeah, it definitely is. I think there's... The reality is that it's very hard to match live events. However, you are capped by location, the amount of people you can fit in, and whatever it might be. So I think continuing to look at ways that we can reach more audience by integrating both a digital aspect to your live event, I think that'll be kind of key for us moving forward.
And I just want to take a moment to commend you and your vision, because I think that's what it really takes with esports, being so young. It takes people like you that have the vision that sees the potential in esports. I mean, because if you really think about it, esports is not that old. We kind of touched a little bit about it. A lot of the people now that are entering their professional careers, right? They're becoming doctors, lawyers, teachers, professionals in general. They grew up consuming this media. You'll notice, and I'm sure you have these conversations with these business people whenever you're talking to investors. People are leaving traditional media and consumption of media like TV. And now, I mean, you ask any kid, what do you want to do when you grow up? They say YouTuber, right?
Yeah.
Or a Twitch streamer.
It's the only way they consume content.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's through YouTube, through Twitch, through all these other. And so, you know, it takes somebody with the vision. And I think the cool thing that we didn't know was that early on, well, we knew, but we didn't know how involved you were with FaZe, was being able to see the potential and then being able to monetize it. Because like Jake said, that's the hardest part. And it's an important thing. And really, one of the questions I was going to ask you kind of answered with the last answer you gave, was whether or not you were going to work with the Cowboys to work on like a live event. Because I'm sure you get this all the time. Being in Dallas, the other big, you know, competitor that you have in this space here locally, you have Optic and Envy, who is now Optic, and their, you know, esports arena in Arlington.
Yeah.
Whether or not you guys were planning on doing something similar, you know, because we have the Rocket League World Championship coming up here.
It's in Fort Worth.
And I don't know how involved you guys are going to be with that, but you know, what do you think, sort of a unique perspective that maybe you learned working with FaZe and those organizations that kind of catapulted you to where you are now? And obviously, I mean, like I said, it's for Jerry Jones to see the value in investing in an esports, because it goes both ways. The guy's not dumb. You know how you guys got Tim to come? I guarantee you that they are, whenever they're, you know, pitching to players to come, they're going to say, look, we got Complexity in house, and you're going to be rubbing elbows with Tim the Tap Man and things like that. That's a recruiting tool for these guys.
Totally. Yeah, I think so number one, I mean, Texas is becoming the hub for gaming and esports, not just in 100%. The US, but I think globally,
yeah,
which is awesome. And I think we've got there's a bunch of Optic Envy guys coming tomorrow and this weekend, yeah, to the event, which is great. I mean, I think competition's healthy, and that's a positive. I welcome it, and I think, you know, that's a good thing. In terms of my vision in the space, and you know, I'd love to sit here and go, hey, I, you know, 10 years ago I saw where this was trending, and I was gonna build this media business based around gaming and esports, and what a genius I am. But it's far from the truth. I think my whole kind of attitude in the space is ruthless pursuit of short-term goals while having a vision to where you want to head. And that is having the ability to lean on other people that are more talented than you are in certain areas, and it's having the ability to pivot. So yeah, you don't want to just be stuck in, hey, this is where we're going, and then you not have the ability, because the reality is this industry is moving so quickly. I owe everything that I learned to FaZe and my time there, I owe where GameSquare is today to FaZe. And I think Complexity is a competitive FaZe in terms of our Counter-Strike team and so forth. But at the end of the day, to me, what was important was building a company that is sustainable into the future. And truly what I want to build is the first true gaming and esports publicly listed company of scale that is profitable. And we're on a path to that. Mm-hmm. And the key to that is, it's not about putting out these crazy audience numbers. It's about, how do you actually monetize those eyeballs? That's what's actually important. And I think bucket two and bucket three for GameSquare is starting to be copied at some places, but they're going to be 2 years, 3 years, 4 years behind us. Mm. In the same way that everyone was 2 years, 3 years, 4 years behind FaZe in terms of audience.
Right.
FaZe is an incredible business, but again, you do have limitations in terms of the brands that you work with, because of your asset costs and whatever else, right? And look, they've done an incredible job monetizing all of those asset costs.
Yeah.
But we don't have that problem. So yeah, I think I owe a lot of what I learned to my time there for sure. Kind of going back to Jerry, the relationship with the Cowboys, one thing we are working on, which is gonna be really cool, is this kind of, and it doesn't have a name yet, so it mightn't be Cowboys Gaming Club, because they have a gaming, a casino / partners, it might become some.
Yeah, okay.
So we'll work on what that is, but we're working on strategy for them as to how to grow Discord, Twitch, YouTube, how to integrate. We've done a few test events and tournaments to involve their players, past players, community fans, building out Cowboys Gaming Club, which will be their next generation of season ticket holder. It'll be kids in Mexico, Brazil, all over the world that may not really even know what American football is, but they see Ezekiel Elliott streaming with Tim the Tatman, and all of a sudden they're a Cowboys fan.
Yeah.
And they're buying in-game Cowboys digital items. They're buying Cowboys keycaps and keyboards, and there's merch and experiences, and the lead in to top tier talent is there. And the Cowboys care about that for very obvious reasons. 26% of Gen Z, their favorite activity / pastime is playing video games.
Yeah.
12% is browsing the internet. It's not necessarily wake up on a Sunday morning in the snow to go with dad to sit at a football stadium like, you know, generations before.
Yeah.
Now, does that mean the NFL is gonna age out and die? No, I don't think so, because they're very smart and they pivot, but they care about this space.
Right.
And as you said before, I mean, Jerry built the most valuable sporting organization in the world in a domestic sport based out of Texas. Like, that's staggering, because they're a market leader, right? They're a market leader in terms of suing the NFL for the rights to the logo, licensing that logo, and building what they've built today. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean, it's definitely a two-way relationship. I think when I got into Complexity, It had probably historically been a little bit too one-sided, right? Yeah, like, we're talking to Miller Lite because of the Cowboys. We're talking to, you know, Dairy Max because of the Cowboys. And it's really cool to, you know, day one I said, like, this is a two-way relationship. And they now want to, they want Tim doing content all the time. They want to have access to Chicharito to help them grow into the Mexico market. Mm. They want to talk to brands that we're talking. This is two ways. Like we touched 200 plus brands, and now we're having real two-way value conversations. I think that's really cool to show the evolution.
And to kind of piggyback off of that statement, and going back a little bit, whenever you guys decided to team up or acquire Complexity, was that relationship already established with the Cowboys, or was that a fostered relationship once you guys acquired Complexity? And you know, I know it's a multi-level question, and then to follow up with that, why Complexity and why Dallas, Texas? Was it because of the Cowboys and that element that they added to it?
Yeah. So, first part of the question, Jerry owned. I'm gonna try and work this out. Jerry Jones and John Goff. So John Goff is a Dallas businessman, another billionaire. Mm. Equally as impressive, not quite as public. An incredible guy. John and Jerry owned 90% of Complexity. Mm. Jason Lake, who founded Complexity, is the CEO of Complexity, he owned 10%. When we did the deal, obviously Jerry and John put more money in, was part of the deal, but that relationship was there. There was no commercial arrangement between Complexity and the Cowboys. Mm-hmm. I think obvious links.
Right.
Jerry's a major shareholder. We're across the road. Our logo looks the same.
Pretty.
And it's actually interesting, right? Because, I mean, there's so many advantages to having that logo. But one thing that we pivoted with Complexity Stars was, I want to sign Lenny Fournette. I want to sign Ronnie Stanley. I don't want to preclude myself from not being able to sign these guys because they don't like the Cowboys or they don't play for the Cowboys, right, or whatever it might be.
Right.
So we use Complexity Stars, stars being a play on being a celebrity,
right.
And we use the chevron as kind of the logo and played around with that. On all the merch for Complexity Stars, you won't see that. You'll see Complexity Stars, which is pretty cool. But yeah, I mean, a big reason for me doing the deal, or us wanting to do the deal, was the relationship with the Cowboys, the shareholder base, and what it gives you. So to be completely frank, I was building Bucket 2 and Bucket 3. I was focused on building a media and agency business within gaming and esports to scale and grow a profitable business that connects brands and fans.
Right.
Now, it wasn't that I was against orgs, but I've seen a lot of orgs lose a lot of money. I believe in the future of it, but I wasn't at the time building this for 10, 20, 30 years of return. I was like, I want to aggressively scale this now and be the first to get to this point.
Yeah.
So I wasn't really interested. It's funny, Travis Goff and I were laughing about this the other day. He called me up and I was like, yeah, I'm not interested. And we spoke a few times. I think he thought I was playing a game, and looking back at it now, it worked, but I wasn't interested. And then every conversation we had, I got more and more interested because number one, Complexity weren't burning the cash that I thought they would be. And I was like, if we can, like we talked about before, bring in Tim the Tatman, do some of the things that we've done, we can scale this really quickly. I think number two, to build the group and the way we are, it'd be much harder to do that without Complexity, without that authenticity to fans, without that real presence and foothold in esports. Right, like we're the agency of expertise, but it's like, but are you, and have you actually invested in this space and like put your money where your mouth is, right? And then the more and more I swear, like what was really important to me was like not having them pass this off to, you know, get a return on their shares. Like this has to be, you guys care, and they do.
Yeah.
And that was the thing for me that I was like, well, I hope they do, but I need like some proof before we go do this transaction. So I spent some time out here, spent some time with Jerry, with Steven, with John Goff, and I mean, they're incredible people, and you know what they've built out here. It's pretty, as soon as you walk in here, you want to do business with them.
Absolutely.
But yeah, understanding that we had access to the Cowboys, and then we did a commercial deal attached to the deal with my agency business, GCN, to start building out some of that Cowboys gaming club. But yeah, incredibly happy that we did, because we're publicly listed on the CSE at the moment. We're not a Canadian entity. It was originally our President Kevin Wright's in Canada, our CFO Paul Bozoki, we just kicked out of this room. He's also based in Toronto, but they are the only two people in Toronto. Lion's share of our revenue is from the US. We're going to grow in UK and Europe. But you know, for us, we want to uplist, we want to get to NASDAQ, and that's important, and we will. We'd probably already be there if the market wasn't in the state that it's in, but it is what it is. Yeah. And we have long-term investors. We are building a sustainable, meaningful business for the future, not just for today, but we want to get there quickly. So this, we will get there. We are a US business, and having shareholders of the caliber of Jerry Jones and John Goff, again, another big tick, right? So looking back on it now, I probably shouldn't have been as dismissive in the first few calls, but we got there in the end. So.
Yeah, it worked out.
Well, I think you're really building something cool here. I mean, this has been incredible. The facility is incredible. We're really looking forward to the event this weekend. But we really appreciate you taking the time.
Thank you so much, man.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, and again, we revere you, what you've done for the organization. It takes vision. You have that vision, and I mean, we're seeing it. I mean, this event is one of the few events of its kind. And you know, like Jason was telling us earlier, hopefully it's not the last one, it's the first one, and then we'll continue to grow. And you know, and again, thank you so much for taking the time talking to us. And you know, hopefully we'll get to see you more in the future. We're not too far away from here, and we're pretty involved in this space. So
yeah, and as you guys continue building, we'd love to have you back on and chat about that further growth.
100%.
Awesome.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right.